Lord, let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together this afternoon. We have sang a hymn of the blessedness that comes upon those who, from the early youth, have found salvation and truth in Thee. And Lord, as we have come together as a brotherhood, as we have gathered with our friends, with our children, we call upon Thee in this afternoon hour that Thou would open the windows of heaven and pour out Thy blessings upon each of us here. That we would feel Thy presence, for Thy promise is sure that Thou art here. And Lord, may our hearts be open to Thy presence, that we would feel Thee, that we would long to know Thee so that we may love Thee. So bless us richly as come together, O Lord, to worship Thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, meditation, let's turn and read with God's help from the First Epistle of Peter, chapter 3. I'd like to begin with verse number 8 and read through 17. Ljubim se želim da se nađe sa Božjom pomoć da se pročita iz prve poslanice Petrova, treća glava, početak od 8. broj do 17. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
Our merciful and gracious Father in heaven, Thou hast assembled us in this afternoon for a second time round about Thy precious and living Word. We have come together to worship Thee. We have to come together to bring Thee praise. We have come to hear the message of truth and life, that our lives might be directed, that we might understand Thy plans and Thy purposes for us, and Thy purpose in revealing Thy glory to all creation, to the angels and principalities, that Thy wisdom would be revealed. And we pray that we would have one mind, that we would be following that good and perfect purpose of Thine that is revealed in Thy Word, that we would seek to put on that mind of Christ that will grant all that we are needing to fulfill what is written here. If the time is short, Lord, precious are the moments that we spend together. And important is the response that we have to Thy Word. Our eternity will depend upon it. So help us to be sober-minded. Help us to have humility before Thee, to know that we depend upon Thee for this life and the life to come. So help us to receive Thee and Thy word and instruction in this day. Grant that we would take what we have already heard, take it to heart, and see where it will lead us. And help us to not go back, but to follow and continue in the word that we've heard, and even that we anticipate as we sit at Thy feet for learning. We thank Thee for the opportunity to gather, and we are mindful of our loved ones and friends who do not gather with us for reasons known only to Thee. And it is our desire to petition Thee on their behalf, that though they are absent from our midst, and we are blessed to receive Thy word and instruction, that Thou would also provide for them. It is a great blessing to be able to come with believers of like precious faith, that we can be encouraged even as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord's return, and the conclusion of all things, the solution of all the problems, coming and summing up into the glory to Thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, before whom all knees will bow. This satisfies all of the questions, the concerns, the anxieties, that He alone reigns. And we pray that we would yield ourselves to that truth and that reality in our lives. Grant us that guidance and be with our brother as he would meditate upon the word, as we would also support him in prayer, and those who hear the word that go out to be the example and light and share the word with those who we come in contact. Help us to be Thine own and representatives of heaven's joy, heaven's glory, heaven's peace, representatives of Jesus Christ and Thy kingdom here below. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear ones, the word that is before us in the first verse that we have read, it talks about being all of one mind. And the brother led us in a prayer that we prayed and asked that we would all have a mind of Christ. He also prayed that we would go forth as lights, and that we also would go forth as representatives of the joy of heaven. Who is the joy of heaven? Jesus Christ. As representatives of His, as representatives of the glory of heaven, of the joy of heaven. That's a lot that we knelt before our Lord and prayed and asked for. We ask for a lot. The question is, can we receive those things that we have asked for? And if we can, and if we find ourselves not experiencing those things, we have to ask ourselves, why? Why am I not able to go forth from these doors and be a representative of Jesus Christ? Why do I not have a mind, the mind that my Lord had? And yet the word testifies of us that, but you have the mind of Christ. Dear ones, I listened the dear sister give a testimony of what brought her to the Lord, how she came to the Lord. And she talked about someone giving her a Bible, and this really struck me. Because said that it opened up to her, and she was seeking the Lord. She was trying to find him. And she was given a Bible, and the verse opened to what Jesus identifies as the greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul. And she said she read that and said, how? How do I do that? And that is a question for all of us, dear ones. Those of us who are baptized in the death of Christ, who have identified with him in death, and arisen with him, how do I love the Lord my God with all my heart? Not half, not 80%, all my heart, all my soul. And the question is answered readily by man. It is impossible. You cannot love the Lord thy God 24 hours a day. The natural man cannot do that. It has to come from an empowerment. That ability to love him has to come from him. And he gives us that with his Holy Spirit. He comes into our hearts. But we also cannot love someone that we don't know. So it is our business. Just as Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. We must be about the business of knowing Jesus Christ. That is how I'm going to get to love him. I can't love someone I'm haphazardly interested in. I can't love someone whose laws look just way too out of this world to obey. And so obedience suddenly falls by the wayside. The love for him wanes. But I am saved. I comfort myself that I've been baptized and I'm saved. But am I concerned about the breaking of the commandment? We all know. We all know that the breaking of a commandment of God is sin. The breaking of any commandment of God is sin. So, if Jesus identifies that first commandment as the great commandment of all the law, all the prophets hang on that, why am I not then concerned about breaking that law, that commandment? Why am I making it my business? If I could use that expression, because Jesus used it, that I am about knowing who he is. Then I can ask the Lord, increase my faith. That is the greatest desire that a man can ever make. Lord, increase my faith. We read this morning in the chapter 4 of how we are to be expectant of sufferings. Expect it. And where and how are we going to go through those things? How are we going to be given the ability or the strength or the faith and the love to go through trials of adversity and suffering? Hunger, perhaps, as was mentioned, and starvation. Worse than that is watching your own child. Forget about self. Watching your own child, your own flesh and blood, go through that. And you can't help him. How am I going to have? Now, Lord, let me love you. Now, let me believe in you. You see, dear ones, our life is meant to gradually grow. Grow in faith. Grow in love. And when we grow in faith and grow in love, we grow in obedience. We grow in reliance upon God. We rely upon Him solely and not upon ourselves. And that gives us victory. We have victory then. And we serve Him. And everything becomes joyous to us. The trials, the adversities of life, we are able to overcome. Dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, I know you do too as I do. We read of Apostle Peter, of Apostle Paul. We read of their lives. We read of what they go through, and we marvel. We marvel at the dedication, at the complete submission unto their Lord. And I mentioned this to a dear sister. I said, I even feel the Lord rebuking me those times. Through Peter, who says, don't look upon me as if I did this on my own. So then what am I doing? I'm saying, I wish I had that dedication, that submission, so that I could live like that. Well, what's the problem? Why don't I? There's something in the way. There's something that is prohibiting me from, but I look at Him. I look at the apostles who are just men. They said, we're men. Stop. Look at Jesus. Jesus is living in me, Paul says. Not I, but Christ lives in me. The hope of glory, the joy of heaven. He lives in me. He gives me to shine. It's not me. It's not my regiment. Today I will give X amount to this cause, X amount to this. I'm going through motions. Motions that are meaningless. Motions that don't give life. What I am asked is to give my heart to my Lord and love Him more than life itself. I have to love Him more than I love life. Because then the persecutions and the sufferings and the trials, the adversities will be overcome. Because I love Him more than I love my life. He is the Lord of heaven and earth, and He is mine. He lives in me. I shine through Him. I have His mind because He's in me. I have His mind. And Peter is saying here, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one for another. What does it mean to have compassion one for another? So that I would live in your situations. I would feel your pain the way you feel it. I would feel it. I would feel it and experience your joys as if they're mine own. And you know what? They are. Why? Because I've made it my business to submit unto Jesus, that I would love Him. When I love Him, I love you the same way. And I love you more than I love myself. I'm happy that these things happen for you. And I'm terribly sad when that something doesn't. And so He says, have that one, all of you, one. One mind, not strewn about in different directions. One mind, that mind is Christ. Have that. When you have that, you're going to have compassion one for another. You're going to love as brethren. You're going to be pitiful. You're going to be courteous. Courteous. There's no such thing as being rude one to another. Rude? But having one mind? Something is wrong. And don't dismiss it, brothers and sisters. Don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss if you're constantly rude. Well, he deserves this. He said this. And so be of one mind. And that mind is Christ. That mind is Christ. Be courteous. Be pitiful. Be compassionate. Love as brethren. Not rendering evil for evil. We have to go back to the story of a little girl who is nameless in the scripture. She's nameless, but she lives on through the ages. She's mentioned over and over. A little girl who was taken out of her country, taken away from her mom and dad, taken away from her siblings, taken away from her home. Everything that she knew, she was gone, gone into another country, enslaved, being a slave to a wife of Naaman. She's a slave girl. And she heard that her master has leprosy. No rendering evil for evil. She's a little girl, but she heard the preaching and the teaching of the prophet Elisha, the prophet of grace. She heard him. She heard him. She knew. She believed. And she said, would that you would just go and call on the prophet. He can help you. She would have been totally justified to say, that's what you get. You took me out of my parents, out of my home, out of my country. You brought me here. I'm a slave in your house. That's what you deserve. That's what you deserve. Evil for evil. Your heart rejoices. You smugly. Yep. He had it coming. That's what he gets. But then you say, I am born again. I am a child of God. I am in his service. I am a representative of the joy of heaven. I am. But you can smugly say he deserved it. Shows right there, through his word, not through some preaching of someone, but through his word, he shows you and he shows me, you don't love me and you don't know me. It doesn't matter that you use my name on your lips so freely. It doesn't matter that you testify, I love you, Lord. It doesn't matter. Do you obey me? Because if you have the mind of Christ, he says, you would never render evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing. Isn't that what the little girl did? She blessed her master. Though he stole her away from her family, she blessed him by pointing him to a means of coming to know the one true God. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. You're called for this purpose, so that you could receive a blessing. Called to have his mind. Called to love him. Called to believe in him. Never doubting, never wavering faith, but loving him and giving yourself over to him. For he that will love life and seek good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. These verses, dear ones, are being quoted from a Psalm of David. A Psalm of David that he did some very bad things. David was, after he had slain the giant Goliath, envy reared up in the heart of Saul, the king, and he hated David. And he pursued him to the ends of the earth. He pursued him and pursued him. He threw two javelins at him, trying to kill him. David finally broke down. Dear ones, this is another sad account of the servant of God, where his sins are so exposed to us to see where he failed. Not so that we can fail and say, okay, he's merciful then, he's merciful now, I'm good, and repeat it, as we said before. So no, it's given to us to understand and to see what that lack of faith, where it leads him. as he finally became completely broken down and he decides that he's going to run away. And where's he going to run to? Gath. Gath. He writes this Psalm 34 after he comes back out of there. He goes and he falls. This is where Goliath comes from. He goes there for refuge. What was he thinking? But more than that, he lied to the priest. He lied to the priest, and he needed bread for his men, his band of men that were with him. He was desperate for food, and he lies to them. He tells them that the king sent me. And he gives them the showbread, and they ate. And he goes into the Philistine country. And he immediately recognizes, isn't this the man? Isn't this the guy that killed our champion? Now he sees what he did. Now he sees where his lack of trust in God had brought him to, how low he had gone. He lied. And it turns out that later that priest and his family was killed by Saul because he took it as he is helping David. So his lie caused this priest and his family to die. He goes into this country. He's being exposed. You're the one that killed our champion. And now he's afraid. Now he's afraid. Why? Because he's at the mercy of a man. And the man, he knows, is going to kill him. He's done. So he puts on a show. It says he lets drool come down his beard. He talks of things. And this is what he's saying here. That your lips would speak no guile. Because I just did that. I just did that in the land of the Philistines. He's writing this he's writing this as he's speaking to his men. See to it that you refrain your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking no guile. None of that should be mentioned, Peter is saying, and he's quoting David, that none of those things should be said of a Christian. When we lose our trust in him, we fall upon our own devices, and then we see how worthless our plan is. But we think we're going to be better. God doesn't care enough about me. God would surely understand if I do this, and because I'm trying to do this, and whatever our excuses are. Let him, for he that will love life and see good days. Does that mean, dear ones, that I have the mansion on the hill, that I have the my heart, if I love the Lord that my God with all my heart and my soul, my strength, I don't even want that mansion on the hill. I don't even desire it. Because my love is my Lord. I have full, he says, if he that will love, I love life because I love my Lord. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. How can I seek peace if I don't love the Lord of peace? For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So, does God hear our prayers? Is a question. Peter is telling us here, his ears, his eyes, he's looking up, he's looking over the righteous. And his eyes are open. Or his ears are open unto their, whose prayers? Their prayers. Who's there? The ones that his eyes are upon. Who are his eyes upon? The righteous. His ears are open to the righteous as they pray. How are you righteous or how am I righteous? How are we righteous? In Christ. In Christ, I am righteous. In Christ, I am holy. In Christ, I have His mind. In Christ is all. And so He, when I am in Christ, He hears my prayers. So we say, okay, well, then that means if I'm not a Christian, does He hear my prayers? The answer is no. The answer is the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. When we don't love the Lord and we want to just pray, but I'm not praying for my salvation. I'm not praying that He would give me faith, that He would increase my faith, that He would give me the love that I would love Him. But I want to just keep him on the back burner so I can still pray to Him when something goes wrong in my life and still think that He's going to hear my prayers. He says, I will not. I don't. So, my dear friends, what should you pray for? Salvation. Lord, open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see. Open my heart that I may love. The Lord hears those who are of a contrite and broken heart. Why should God hear the prayer of someone who is involved in evil, who doesn't care about Him, but wants to call upon Him when it's convenient? Why? We ourselves could understand that He doesn't. And the Word testifies to us that very thing. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? What does that mean? Does that mean that the Peter is saying, no harm will come to you? Of course not. He suffered much harm at the hands of men. He suffered much harm. He said, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, be happy. He's speaking from his own experiences. We read in the scripture that he was beaten. And that he thought it was a wonderful thing to be counted as worthy to suffer for Christ. Be happy. Don't be afraid, he says. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't be afraid of them, don't be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify Him in your heart. This is coming from Isaiah. Peter is quoting Isaiah, who told Ahaz who had feared the alliance of Israel that they made with Assyria. And so he is the king of Judah, says that he's going to align himself with Assyria, who is a much greater power. And Ahaz told him, don't do it. Don't. But he fell upon his own. He looked at the situation and said, I need Assyria to help me. Assyria? That's like asking two who are squabbling to have the devil come and make peace with them. Sure, the devil will take that. Sure, I'll come. I'll make peace. I'll scatter you both. I'll destroy you both. That's exactly what Assyria did. Little did he know at that time what Assyria would do. But he was warned. But no, he trusted in his own self, as David did. And we know what happened to Ahaz. Ahaz, who no longer received communications with heaven. No longer were his prayers being answered. Why? Because he pursued evil. God no longer opened the doors and the windows of heaven to hear his prayer. And so what he did, he went to a witch. He went to a witch. Gladly did the devil open up that door. And he fell headlong to his own death. We know that story. Eschew evil. Run away from those things, dear brothers and dear sisters and my dear friends. Be happy when you suffer for righteousness' sake. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Don't even worry. How do we come to that point, dear ones? It comes back to the first commandment. That's where it comes. All the law, all the prophets are hanging on there. All the obedience is hanging on that. Sanctify the Lord. Acknowledge Him in your heart. In your heart. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Acknowledge Him. And set your heart aside only to love Him. That's sanctifying your heart. And when we sanctify our hearts, He says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When He is sanctified in my heart, He is sanctified in my mind. And I am ready always to speak now of the hope that is in my heart. Because He is in my heart, He is in my mind, I have His mind, I have the mind of Christ. And so we go back to the first verse, be ye all of one mind. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be in your mind always ready to speak of the love of Christ. The hope that is in you. That goes far beyond the fear of the grave. Why should I fear? Why should I fear man? Because God, through Jesus Christ, has pronounced victory over death. Death is ugly. Death is fearsome. Death is something to be terrified of. And yet, O grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is your sting? There's no longer victory there. Death is abolished. I don't fear death, so why should I fear a man who's going to put me to death? Paul said it. Peter said it. Why? Because they loved God. And they didn't fear death because death was abolished. They didn't fear a man putting their mortal frame to death. Having a good conscience, Paul said that. Paul said that in front of authorities, ready to speak of the hope that is in him, a mind that was completely dedicated and given over unto Jesus Christ. He said, I have lived a life of a good conscience. I have a good conscience towards God. I have a good conscience toward man. That's why he was able to testify to the authorities in that time. You can't stand before an authority today and say, I'm going to speak of Christ when your life defies that you are a Christian. It's not going to work. We can dig up our Google searches. They can dig up all kinds of stuff. Say, you're a nasty man. Who are you? You're saying, what kind of conscience is speaking here? You see, dear ones, if we're going to be representatives of heaven, representatives of the peace, the joy, and the love of heaven, the angels adore Jesus Christ. If I'm going to be His representative, I have to, out of a good conscience towards God and towards you, live my life. Good conscience. Clear. A conscience that is quickened, made alive by His Word. Not by what I think is right or what I think is wrong or what I think. It's what God has laid out for me. And out of that conscience, He says, have a good conscience. That whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed. They may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your good life in Christ. You see, Peter goes back. He goes back to the time that he was ashamed of Christ. He couldn't testify. He couldn't speak of that hope. But now, He can. Now He can. And now He says, they can't speak evil when your life is in Christ. They're going to be ashamed of the things they say because they're lies. They're not true. If they're true, you be ashamed. I need to be ashamed. For it is better if the will of God be so, if it's God's will, dear ones, that I'm going to suffer for doing well, it's good. It's okay. Just don't let me suffer for doing evil. Don't let me do something bad and suffer the consequences. Let me do something good. It's better. It's okay. Peter's saying, it's okay. He did it. He's doing it. He's going through it. He's writing this in a time when there's great, great persecution going through the land. And his life is going to be called upon shortly. But have a good conscience towards God and towards man. Have a mind of Christ. Ask ourselves, dear ones, do I obey the first commandment of one that Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment that you will ever receive? Don't think about, oh, did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? Did I do this? This? Do I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, strength, body, everything? Do I love Him? That is our question, dear ones, today. May the Lord be with us so that we can answer it out of a clear and a good conscience. Because then, and only then, can the change take place. Not because, okay, now I'm going to just submit unto Christ, and He's going to give me that faith that it's okay to suffer for doing good. It's not time to become desperate. It's not time to have, oh, Lord, why me again? No, it's okay. The Lord is with me. He sees all. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He sees everything. Nothing is for me to take into my hands. God knows. God sees. Praise be unto Him. And so may we, dear ones, not lean on our own understanding, but submit ourselves unto the loving, merciful, compassionate Lord for salvation, for strength, for wisdom, for guidance, for righteousness, for holiness, for purity of mind. It's all from Him. You can't do it. I can't do it. He can. Through submission. Submission costs. It costs me my will, which is my life. I have to give it over to Him. Am I willing? So the question is, do I want to love Him with all my mind, heart, and soul? May God bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.
Jesus told the church in Smyrna, "To fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." And we know the way of overcoming. It is a straight and a narrow way. It is a way of truth and life. It is Jesus Christ. And in this world that is crowded with its fear and its terror and its anxiety, there is room for our soul at the cross, where we will find all we need to overcome. May God give us the grace to find our way. May God bless His word.